The past several weeks, we've been looking at miracles that, you know, that Jesus performed. We've been going through all of them, right? And we're believing for miracles. And so we wanted to see what Jesus had done. And we started in Matthew chapter 8, and we made it all the way through Matthew. We've looked at Mark, and we've made it all the way through Mark. And so now we're in Luke, and we're going to look at a couple miracles that are only recorded in Luke. And Luke is an interesting character, and when he writes, he writes about stuff that maybe some other people don't, that he kind of elaborates on things. And part of it's because he was a physician, he was a doctor, and so some of the words that he uses or the phrases that he uses, he's using it because it's what he would say in the medical terms. But in Luke chapter 13, that's where we're going to be. It says, one Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. Then she praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. He was furious. "There's 6 days of the week for working," he said to the crowd. "Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath." But the Lord replied, "You hypocrites. Each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath?" This shamed his enemies, but all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did. Anytime I'm reading about things that Jesus, healings especially, that Jesus did on the Sabbath, when I look at see that he heals someone on the Sabbath or does something on the Sabbath, I take notice. Because he's out. He's about to do something that's out of the ordinary, right? He's going against the grain. And he's about to lay some hard truth on some people. Right? He's about to show the self-righteous, religious people, he's going to put them in their place. This lady's been dealing with this oppressive spirit for 18 years. She was in such bondage that she couldn't stand up straight. She was doubled over, is what Luke says. I had this picture in my mind of this. There was, when I was a little kid, I don't know the man's name. I remember seeing him all around. But when he walked like this. And I never saw him stand. Whenever he was standing up, this is how he was standing. I can't even really stand the way he was. And I always thought it was interesting. I know he was an old man. I'm sure he's probably dead by now. But I always thought, how did he get to that point? Like, what happened to him to make him be like that? And in my mind, when I was a little kid, I thought of all kinds of things that could have happened to him. Right? Because I've seen cartoons, and I've seen cartoons do some funny things, right? And so I had all these things about what had happened to this man. And then when I think about this woman, I see this man in my mind of how he was so bent over, and this is the way this woman was. And I'm sure that man was in pain, and this lady, she was in constant pain. Whether she was bent over like this man or somewhere in between, she wasn't in perfect health. And the scripture points to the fact that her physical illness was a direct result of demonic activity or oppression. This woman is crippled by an evil spirit. She needed Jesus to step into this situation. Nobody brought her to Jesus. She didn't even come to Jesus and ask him to heal her. She was just there, and an opportunity presented itself. You know, sometimes it's just about giving Jesus an opportunity. Verse 12 says, "When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, 'Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness.' And then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight." How she praised God. He spoke healing, and then he touched her, and she was instantly healed. I've thought about this a lot this week, about how we have the power of life and death in our tongue. And Jesus told this lady, "You are healed of your sickness." And then he touched her. He spoke life to the situation. He spoke life and healing to her sickness. He didn't say, "What ails you today? How are you sick today?" He said, "You're healed of your sickness. You're healed." And she stood up straight. I see it in my mind. She stood up straight and walked out of there praising God. There are situations in our lives that we need to begin to speak life to. We need to start speaking healing. We need to not talk about how we're sick. We need to be speaking life to the situation. I'm not a name it, claim it guy. I'm really not. But I also am not going to sit there and say, "I'm sick and this is what's wrong with me," and then say, "Well, but God's healed me." Well, if God's healed you, then you're not sick anymore. Stop saying you're sick. When he heals us and he touches us, something that this lady did is something that we need to do. She began to praise God. When God touches our life, we need to begin to praise him for it. When God does something for us, we need to tell others about what he's done. We don't need to keep it to ourselves. When God changes something in our life, we need to praise him. When God does something miraculous, we need to praise him. And that means we need to tell other people about what he's doing and what he's done. Verse 14, though, but the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath. "There are 6 days of the week for working," he said to the crowd. "Come on those days to be healed, but not on the Sabbath." When I'm preparing, I read other versions. And the Message Bible said that they got red-faced mad. This guy was so mad because this lady was healed. I've always thought it was interesting that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of the time, they were getting so angry with Jesus when he would heal someone on the Sabbath. When people's lives were changed on the Sabbath, they were angry. I'm like, why were they angry? What is the problem? They got so mad. It was like they were so angry. It's like a drug dealer being mad that all of his people got clean. Right? I mean, they're mad. They're angry. Why is this happening? Why are you healing people on the Sabbath? There's 6 other days for this. I mean, I guess they told people, "Well, you're sick. Sorry, we can't do anything today. Come back tomorrow." "Oh, you're dying? Well, I need you to wait until Monday for that. Not today. Can't help you today. It's the Sabbath. We can't heal you on the Sabbath. Oh, you're choking? I know the Heimlich maneuver, but I can't do it because it's the Sabbath. Come back tomorrow. If you're still alive, we'll take care of you then. Can't help you today. If you can hold out, you're bleeding to death. Well, I know how to wrap that up, but I can't do it today. It's the Sabbath. We got 6 other days in the week. Come back when you're bleeding on Monday or Tuesday. We'll take care of you then." These things were happening, it appears, and there was such hypocrisy, and so they were so legalistic in their actions, and it's unbelievable to me that they get mad because Jesus touches a lady and says, "Your sickness is healed. You're free." They would rather wait and leave someone sick and bound and ready to die than heal them on the Sabbath. It makes absolutely zero sense to me. Hypocrisy. But sometimes churches are the same way. " We want people to get saved and cleaned and all those things, but we want them to do it on our terms when we want them to do it. If they come in dirty, we don't want them there. If their shoes are muddy, we don't want them. If they smell funny, we don't want them. We want them once they're clean and perfect. They walk in the church. I can't believe they're here. What are they doing? I know what they did last week. So I know what you did last night. People say they don't want to come to church because of hypocrites, and there's only two places you'll find hypocrites, in the church and the bar. That's the truth. So you can either go to church and make it to heaven with the hypocrites not looking at you, or you can go to hell with all of them. It don't matter to me. But we're so hypocritical of people. And someone messes up, instead of reaching out and trying to help them back up, we do want to kick them while they're down. I could stay here for a while. I don't move on. It's better that I do. Verse 15 says, "The Lord," but Jesus replied, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it to water? This dear woman is a daughter of Abraham and has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath?" The message, he calls them frauds. These frauds and hypocrites were mad that this lady was healed on the Sabbath. The hypocrisy is that Jesus points out that they would untie their donkey or ox and lead it to water and give it food, but the lady is bound by sickness by an evil spirit, and she has to wait on a non-Sabbath day. They lacked compassion. They wanted to do everything right. They came to church and they did all the right things, but they lacked compassion. He's saying you care more about your animals than this suffering woman. He calls her daughter of Abraham, reminding them that she matters to God. They would help their livestock, but wouldn't lift a finger for someone made in God's image. This lady is clearly in bondage or sickness and demonic oppression. She's suffering, and these guys were turning a blind eye because can't heal them on the Sabbath. We are in serious danger of becoming unconcerned and insensitive to the world's misery and suffering, particularly spiritually. I know that there are many people and organizations, and it appears that they've increased their involvement in charitable causes and humanitarian efforts, and the media continues to fill the culture with images of immorality and violence as a form of entertainment. As a result, we've been deceived into thinking that people are all right. Those things are okay. But in reality, we're just becoming more insensitive and unconcerned about the value of human life and individuals' real needs. As followers of Christ, we need to be able to recognize the true threats and distress of life and respond with real help for people's spiritual needs. Jesus' healing on the Sabbath made the religious organization upset because it upset their apple cart. It wasn't just something that he did to make them mad, although I do think that he kind of liked to stick it to them. But they got mad because it upset their way of doing things. This isn't the way that we do this. We've never done it that way before, Zach. And it upset them because we want it the way we want it. We want them to be clean. We don't want them to be muddy. We don't want them to be dirty. We don't want them to, you know, be struggling and trying to do right. We want them when they're already past that point. It wasn't the last time that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, though. Luke 14:1 tells another story of Jesus healing on the Sabbath. It says, on one Sabbath day, Jesus went to eat dinner in the home of a leader of the Pharisees, and the people were watching him closely. There was a man there whose arms and legs were swollen, and Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in religious law, is it permitted in the law to heal people on the Sabbath? When they refused to answer Jesus, he touched the sick man and healed him and sent him away. Then he turned to them and said, which of you don't work on the Sabbath? If your son or your ox falls into a pit, don't you rush to get him out? And again, they could not answer. They're getting ready to eat Sunday afternoon lunch. Jesus sees this guy. Verse 2, it says, there was a man whose arms and legs were swollen. The word swollen here, the word that Luke uses for this man's condition, was a medical term, actually. It's also, in some versions, it says dropsy. Is a medical term that points to the fact that he was a physician. It talks about how it's the swelling of the tissue and all the things that was going on with this. And so he says this, and then Jesus asks him in verse 3, he says, is it permitted in the law to heal people on the Sabbath day or not? Is it permitted? Is it okay? And they refuse to answer. And so Jesus touched this man and healed him, and he sent him away. When he asked that question, he was reading the room. He was reading the room to what they would say and how they would respond. And with no response, he touches this man, and the man was instantly healed. Can you imagine? This man is standing there, and his arms and his legs are swollen. He can barely get around, and Jesus touches him, and instantly the swelling is gone. They all saw it. Both of these instances, with the lady and with the man, though, these people didn't have someone bring them to Jesus. Several of the miracles that we've seen Jesus do, someone brought the sick person to Jesus. They had the faith to believe for this person. These people weren't brought to him. They were just there. They didn't go to Jesus either and beg him to heal them. They were there. They were available. And Jesus heals them. He had an opportunity to do something. Some of us need to give him an opportunity to touch us. Give him an opportunity to heal us. Give him an opportunity to meet our need. You can sit in your seat and you can say, well, he knows my need. You're right, he does, just like he knew these two people's needs. But I believe they gave him an opportunity because they were around him. We have opportunity every week. I give you opportunity to come around this altar every week. You don't have to wait for me to give you an opportunity to come and pray at the altar. But there's opportunity given every week. And many of you have never taken advantage of the opportunity. I'm not going to beat you up. But you sit in your seat and you complain about things that are going on in your life and in your body. But when's the last time you gave Jesus an opportunity? And you don't have to come to this altar to give him an opportunity. But when's the last time you gave him an opportunity to do something inside of you? Verse 5, and then he turned to them and said, which of you doesn't work on the Sabbath? If your son or your cow falls into a pit, don't you rush to get him out? And again, they could not answer. It wasn't just about sticking it to them. He really was trying to show them that they had gotten so legalistic that they had forgotten compassion, they had forgotten mercy, and they forgot love. The compassion to pray for someone or meet a need that we're capable of meeting and then not doing it. If someone came and said they needed something and I had what they needed, but I didn't have the willingness or the compassion to help them. Sometimes we miss it. And it's not big things that we miss it with. It's the little things. They need something that we have that we could meet the need. But instead of meeting it, James, this is what we do. Oh, we'll pray for you. Thanks. Thanks for praying for me, but that didn't fill my belly. Thanks for praying for me, but that didn't help with where I'm at right now. This moment. I'm not saying that we don't pray for those people, but if we can meet the need, let's meet the need and then pray for them. How much bigger impact will that be? If you have someone and they're hungry and they need food, we have resources that we could put food in their hands. They need diapers for their babies. We have resources that we can do that. I can't be the only one that ever does that. But if I don't know every person that has a need. But if you call me or call Chelsea, we can get the resources in your hands to help that person right then. He was telling them, you don't have compassion anymore. You do all the right things. You come to church and you sing the songs and you take communion and you pray and you pay your tithes. But if you don't have love for people, if you can't show compassion and love to the ones coming in, then you're nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but don't love others, I would only be a noising gong or a clanging cymbal. We have to show love and compassion. Jesus showed these two people compassion, despite the fact that it was on the Sabbath, despite the fact that it was on the day he shouldn't be healing people, because that was working. Him putting his hand on someone and saying, you're healed, was working somehow. I mean, he made mud and put it on some dude's eye, and that was on the Sabbath, and that was bad because he made mud, and you can't make mud on the Sabbath. They didn't have a problem with him spitting in the dude's eye. It was the problem that he made the mud. This is where Jesus was with these religious leaders. He's saying, you know the law, but you've forgotten about love, mercy, and compassion. You've forgotten about those things. Fall Fest is coming. It's going to be here quicker than we know it. Are we going to show the people that come in compassion and love? Or are we going to be mad because they do things that we don't want them to do? There are going to be people that are here that they're going to do things that aren't nice. Are we going to show them love and compassion, or are we going to get mad at them? There are things that are going to happen. I'm sure there are going to be things that happen that day that are going to frustrate me. I promise. But how will we react? With love and compassion, or with the frustration and anger? I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. That I want to show compassion to people. I want to show mercy to people. I want to give people grace. Because he's certainly given me all of those things. I pray that in this house, that we carry mercy and love and compassion further than anything. Let's not be the ones who know the rules but forget the reason. Let's not be the ones who guard the Sabbath but ignore the suffering. Let's give Jesus the opportunity to touch us, to heal us, to change us, and to fill us with compassion and love. Will you do that this morning? Ask everyone that would to stand to your feet. Lord, I just thank you today. I thank you once again for the opportunity you've given us to gather in your presence. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for moving in this house in such a way. And Lord, I just pray that you fill this place with compassion and love. That you fill this place with mercy and grace. Lord, I pray that you help us. That you help us. That you help us to show compassion over ceremonies. Maybe you're in this place and you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior. And today you say, I'm ready to get right with him. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. But maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I've got something going on in my life and I need him to touch it. And I want to give him an opportunity to do that in my life today. I want to invite you to come. Whether it's a sickness that you've prayed for 100 times, maybe it's a physical need, maybe it's a financial need, maybe it's a spiritual need. Maybe it's something else, but you need God to move in a situation, circumstance, a family member, whatever. I want to invite you to come. We want to pray and believe with you that he's going to move and touch, heal. Lord, I just thank you today. I thank you right now, God. And I pray that you just move in this house. That you move in this house today, God. That you touch and you heal today, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so.